Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Ghosts of Boyfriends Past.
Hello.
How much is this podcast, you say? Free? Well, the advice that we're about to give better match that price point.
What a bargain, you guys. What
I know,
a bargain.
Right? All of this work, all of this comedy, entertainment, laughs, cries,
blood,
free.
Sweat, tears.
Not costing you a single thing.
But that's now probably, join our Patreon. No, we don't have a Patreon
That's
yet.
Probably a good thing because we're here to give advice on today's mini episode as we answer questions sent in from our dear readers. So for a free podcast, you're getting some free advice. Take it what you will.
And also, our lawyers are requiring us to say that it's a general in nature and we have no idea what we're doing. So please don't take the advice.
That's right.
Necessarily, or take at your own risk.
Yes. We've got to do a sped up disclaimer for the beginning of these. But I'll open the batting with a question to you, Elizabeth.
Sure.
What do you think of the idea of soulmates?
Don't believe in them.
Don't believe.
Well, I don't believe in romantic soulmates. I believe in people, like, the idea of soulmates is that certain people are destined
yes.
to be in each other's
there
life.
There are 7 billion people on the
yes.
planet and two of you are...
yeah.
And you...
No, I think that's garbage.
Yes, because you... Yeah, I met my soulmate working in the same office in
the
same town in the same state.
Yeah, exactly. But also, like, I think that soulmates, the idea of soulmates means that you'll probably ignore a lot of red flags in order to keep that person as your soulmate because you're like, well, if it's fated, then maybe I'm just not putting in hard enough work or, you know, I think you have to choose to be with somebody every single day. I don't think you can say, well, it's a done deal. Thanks, universe. Mm. Like, but having said that, there are some friends that I call my soulmates, not because I think we were fated, but because I think that on a soulful level, we match and complement each other. Mm. And so it's a slightly different context. But like, I've got one female friend in particular who we've sent flowers to each other and been like soulmates because our souls intertwine, not because they have to, but because we choose to, and
yes.
she gives me an immense amount of support and I provide that back.
I subscribe to that kind of interpretation of it. I would say that there are thousands, maybe even millions of married couples throughout history, throughout the world now, who are dead, alive, indifferent, whatever, who were saying, no, I met my soulmate. I loved this person with all my heart. So there's loads of people out there who believe and buy into that idea. But I think there isn't one for you. There isn't just one soulmate.
No.
I think, but someone can come along who can you can fall so deeply into and become, you can become that with someone, I'm sure.
I feel like if you contextualize soulmates less as in fated and more as
yes.
in your souls are intertwined
yes.
and you nourish each other's souls, then I think that that's acceptable.
Yes, so I can buy it from that perspective.
So I've got an interesting one. This isn't a question. This is a resolution to a previous question that was asked.
Oh,
do we remember the Dad Bod Voldemort saga where a person that wrote in had somebody across the fence from them who was constantly watching and making her feel uncomfortable and doing inappropriate
things? Yes, he was
things.
A married man, wasn't
he? Was
he
was a married
and
man.
And she was married.
Yes, and she's
yes.
also married.
Yes, I recall, yes.
So I got this message. So a resolution for you. Today I confronted Dad Bod Voldemort. It
Ooh.
Has taken me months of fear and it has been horrible having him trying to spot me through every sightline. But I finally told him to leave me alone in a polite way. I got this back. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to cause you any discomfort. I am ashamed for my actions and I understand that it is absolutely not acceptable to be behaving in this manner. It will not happen again. I have betrayed your trust, his wife's trust and her husband's trust. And I would like to be friends. However, I understand that this is not possible. My own personal personal issues have ruined a good relationship between us, and I appreciate that you have reached out and made it clear that this is not acceptable. I will not do this again, and thank you for discussing this in confidence. Sorry, that last bit made me laugh.
Thank you so much for keeping it quiet.
So I said to this person who wrote in, I said, oh, look, well, at least that's good that you've gotten that. And she's like, yeah, but he's still doing it. And of course he would be.
I was wondering how we're reading it, what the mood was.
I'm hoping that he feels a little bit chastened that all four, because apparently he didn't realise that the readers... husband also knew about this situation already, thinking that she would have kept it secret.
Right.
And I'm hoping that the fact that it is very much out in the open might at least temper his behaviour somewhat. But apparently, yeah, he's...
Hopefully. But he said all the bloody right things.
I know. But I'm so... Can I just say, reader, I am so proud of you I feel like we just recorded an episode on boundaries. So I'm like, I'm so proud of you for setting that boundary and for, you know, calling out disgusting behavior where it should be called out, because it can be really nerve-wracking to have to say something that you know someone may not react positively, but it's you know, you have to call out terrible behavior when it happens.
That's right. Reader, you said in your message for months you were scared over what to do. I'm paraphrasing here.
Yeah.
But you beat that fear. You got to a resolution.
So this is a personal success, if nothing else.
A triumph.
But yes, so if you have any, if we've answered one of your questions and you do have a resolution, please write it in. We love follow-ups and we love to know. And yeah, the episode where that particular thing was addressed is literally called Dad Bod Voldemort. So if you want to go back and listen to what this reader's question was and how it turned out, feel free.
But nice to get a resolution to a previously visited idea.
All right. Would you like me to go to an actual question, or
yes,
do you
please.
Have one?
Let's go.
Okay. So, hi guys, backstory. We've been together about 4 years. I have two kids and he has two kids, and we moved in together after about a year of dating. I had a bit of a hunch about him. He told me that I am the only girl he's never cheated on and been 100% faithful to throughout our relationship. Over the summer, he started spending a lot of time at a local bar with friends. At first, I didn't care, but then it turned into 3 or 4 times a week. And there was a new bartender who'd started there around that time. She was cute, she was young, she was flirtatious. Whatever. He stopped going to the bar in October and he said he was trying to do the right thing and be at home with his family. So already I'm like, ugh. Red flags. I went through his phone the other night. I don't condone, but I understand. Something had been off and I wanted to know what was going on. I come to find out that he's been texting this bartender for about 3 months. It just so happens it started immediately after he stopped going to the bar. I also discovered that they've been sending nudes and talking about having sex. I woke him up at 3 a.m. and confronted him, and he swears all they did was talk, that they never had sex and never even meet up. Then, get ready with the dump in button.
I'm hovering.
Then he tells me that I was an asshole to him during that time, and he says I've put on weight and he doesn't like it, so that pushed him to talk to
dump him!
Yes. Yep. He swears that he only wants to be with me and that I can go through his phone whenever I want now. He says he only did it because we were going through a rough patch. But the weight thing, this breaks my heart. The weight thing that he said is the thing that's really bothering me. I have put on weight, and he made the comment that we haven't even had any kids together when I was discussing how large I am. I want to drop a ton of weight and then leave his ass, but I feel like I should just leave him now, especially for the kids' sake. But then why put them through that if I have no intention of staying? Please help.
Okay. You don't have to lose any weight before you lose him.
No. Nope.
He will be the best weight you lose,
yep.
I think.
Exactly.
If you dump his ass. Kids complicate things as well.
They're not kids together, though. They're her two and his two.
But they've moved in together. Yeah, There's a little family dynamic. That's unfortunate. That's annoying. But it's not the end of the world. And there's other red flags. When you first started dating, he said, "Hey, I've cheated on everyone else in my past, but
not you.
I can promise you that, toots." Like, You don't need, that's not a qualifier.
It's that thing that we talk about giving too much information in the alibi. If you have to mention it, it's clear that it's something that's on your mind.
Yes. So that's there was a second thing. There's a fair bit to sort of unpack here. And
yeah.
She asked for help. I don't know in regards to help. How is our help just look out for yourself, respect yourself and dump him? You know, what's the help that
we
give?
Okay, well, here's a couple of little bits of help. Number one, only lose weight if you feel like you want to do it for you.
There we go.
Because understand that sometimes, you know, you feel crappy about putting on weight, but you shouldn't want to lose it if somebody else tells you to lose it. It's like, I understand that sometimes you can feel like you're not, and this has happened to me, you feel like you're not at home in your body anymore, and that's a problem. So if you would like to rectify that and feel better about yourself, then do it. I would suggest, first of all, I feel like dumping him is you have to. Like, I think that if you stay, then he'd constantly, every single time he sways, he'd be like, but you didn't do the dishes last week, so my penis just had to go elsewhere. Like, yep. The fact that he didn't even own it and say, I fucked up, I shouldn't have, the fact that he put it on you is something that will never, ever, ever change.
It sounds like this behavior would continue, like the same patterns would continue. Continue going forward, you'd be having the same conversations, yep. The same...
And it will be a detriment to your emotional health, because you will constantly... And then if you allow it to happen for too long, instead of going, fuck you cheated, you'll end up going, I need to be better so that he doesn't cheat. And that will send you crazy for years. So at the end you say, I want to drop a ton of weight and then leave him. No, leave him, then drop a ton of weight if you want to do it, because then you end up, he never has touched the new body that you've managed to find happiness in.
That's right. That's good advice, Liz.
Revenge body is a thing, people. All right, Tom, do you have another?
Don't, just quickly,
yep.
Straight men aren't that valuable. Straight men made themselves valuable. We put straight white men made themselves valuable because they're at the top of the food chain.
And they said they were. And they said, society,
but
cool.
We absolutely are not. And as one of that thing, we're a dime a fucking dozen. So if you're worried, don't worry about dumping someone or not. We're out there, don't worry.
Yeah,
we're not that special.
No.
Elizabeth.
Yes.
How can you make a long-distance relationship work? Not is it a good idea or can you, or yes, no, but how can you make it work? How can you make
it
work?
I'm smiling because it just so happens that on my other podcast, Castology, I reviewed a podcast called Big Leaps, Tiny Changes.
You beauty.
And basically what that podcast is, and I think everybody should listen to it, it's fabulous. There's one episode, they're about 10 to 15 minutes long, about different issues, and one of them was, can long distance work, or how to make long distance work? And the gist of what they were saying is that it's important to schedule time together.
Yes.
Because otherwise, if I know friends who've been in long distance relationships before, and one of them's like, oh, why don't we just chat when we want to chat? And
you don't have that luxury anymore.
You don't. You need to make more of an effort when you're apart to communicate than you would when you're together. So making sure that you schedule like date phone conversations or date times, make sure that you both have good expectations on like communicating. So if you're busy and someone texts you in the middle of the workday, your partner texts you in the middle of the workday and you're busy, then you need to make sure that you text them back and say, I'm busy, but I'll chat tonight. Like that extra bit of reassurance is super, super key. There are so many more different ways that they talk about on the also, the podcast is great. So for the first 5 or 10 minutes, it talks about, the statistics on long-distance relationships. So it gives you some facts on whatever the topic is, and then it gives you quick solutions that you can do to make it work. So Big Leaps, Tiny Changes, listen to the episode. I know that I'm passing the buck here, but so good that it's worthwhile.
One day there'll be a podcast for us to defer every question to. I think maybe manage your expectations or understand the relationship, understand what you're setting up and what you're building to.
Have an end date if you can, because or at least a date where you're going to reassess.
But then also, yes, and technology nowadays, I don't need to tell you, is pretty good. If you go for a walk in the afternoon, FaceTime the person.
A friend of mine has just started doing that.
They do it, as they go for a walk, like go for an interactive walk together, or do the FaceTime. But you have to maintain, I think, the long-distance relationship. It's work, as any relationship is. But it is hard. There is a bump up in the amount of work, the amount of care, the amount of, I don't know, you have to be careful.
So many things can be misread, so just make sure you're very clear with your communication, I think.
Absolutely.
All right. I don't know why I picked a lot of cheating stories today, I did.
That's okay.
So this one is from a guy, because look, we're equal opportunity here about talking about how garbage some humans are. We're not just hating on men. On shitty women
too. Anyone can bag anyone, in my mind.
Yep, it's the rules. So my 23-year-old girlfriend of 4.5 years cheated on me, in brackets, I'm 29-year-old male, several times over Christmas with her 40-year-old boss. I feel absolutely devastated. About a week later, I asked her to tell me the whole story in great detail because she begged me to give our relationship another try. She promised to be truthful and tell the whole story, and she did, but I have this weird feeling inside me, so I did some digging and found out that even though she promised to be truthful, she had omitted more than half of the intimate situations, and now we're in an even worse spot than the first place. There's no trust, not even a little, because she lied to me even though she promised to be truthful, and her explanation was that she didn't want to talk about it. Despite this, I still feel like I want to give it a try. What bothers me most is, number one, she lied to me after promising to be truthful. Number two, before she cheated on me, I told her that her behavior is pushing me away, but she never did anything to fix that. And number three, there are now constantly images in my mind where she's getting shagged by another dude. Has anyone else been in a similar situation to this? I think they're asking for other people to write in as well. Has anyone else ever been in a similar situation? How's the relationship after making up, and what has changed? Can you even get over something like this, and how and what is the person who was cheated on thinking or feeling?
Dump them!
110%.
I mean, it's kind of, yeah, it doesn't feel, it kind of feels redundant talking about it, because it's, we're only going to get sort of frazzled and annoyed.
Okay. Look, I get it. I have been in your shoes, Rita. I have been there. I have found out that my partner was having an affair. I've had but I really want to work on it. Let's try and work on it. And then on and off for a year and a half longer than the relationship should have been, during which time that person did cheat on me again, repeatedly, with the same person that he said he was no longer cheating on me with, and then tried to make me seem crazy for not forgiving him. And so there are two scenarios here, because I also know somebody who's cheated on their husband and promised to do the work and did the work, and they're now in a very strong place, even though he still has a lot of triggering moments, and that's hard. So first of all, you need to figure out whether the fact that she does not want to talk about it was lying or sparing you, and that's contextual, I believe.
The reader said there's zero trust.
I think there's almost no way to come back from zero trust.
I'm pretty cut and dry with this one. Get out of there, reader. You asked a question to the universe. Has anyone else done similar things? What you want is for hundreds of people to write in going, yes, my husband cheated on me when we first got together, but we're now all tickety-boo and rosy. Those stories aren't going to flow in by the hundreds.
Those stories are the exception. They're not the rule.
And I think maybe you enjoy having sex, or you enjoy, there's something that's keeping you, that's keeping you there, but there's a whole lot that shouldn't be. You said there's no trust. She can't talk to you. So there's no communication. And she cheated on you. There's a shopping list beginning here of reasons to get out. So I don't think there's a lot of room personally for help in this regard.
I'm going to be the, I'm going to, It's very un-me, but I'm going to argue. So I'm not saying you should stay together. I don't think you should. I don't think you should, but I also think that you're going to do what you want to do regardless of what anybody else says, right? Mm. So here's my advice if you decide to do the dumb thing that I'm pretty sure you're going to do. The only way that you can get over something like this is if the person who cheated on you is willing to be so fucking open that it's uncomfortable for them.
Yes.
And it's going to seem like you're punishing them on a daily basis. You have to be really careful not to punish them, but also that they know that their life has to be an open book in order. It's their job to win you back.
Mm.
It's not your job to deal with what happened. So if that person is willing to go the extra mile every fucking day to potentially, even though they think it's a bad idea that you look at their phone, to show you their phone every day, to give you all their passwords, you know, I'm not saying that you should be snooping these things. That's bad. But in order for a relationship to ever come back to cheating, the other person has to be so willing to earn your trust back that their whole life becomes an open book to you. If that is not the case, it will not work.
That's right. It should be a campaign of change and effort and honesty and openness on the other on behalf of the other of and, the, of yeah, the other person.
In the relationship where I've seen this work, she did the work.
Yep.
And it was fucking hard, and it still is fucking hard years on.
But if you don't think that this girl that cheated on you can do the work in 6 months, a year, 3 years, you know, it doesn't get fixed now and then perfect now and
your
then
job
stay.
Isn't to deal with it. Her job is to fix it.
Yeah. And you stay with this girl. What's she done to you 3 years down the line, 5 years down the line?
Yeah.
There's
a lot of soul searching on both parts, but if the other person isn't willing to 100% do the hard fucking work and keep that book of life open, more open than it would be with anybody else, then it's not worth
but
it.
But if you can't communicate, and if there's no zero trust, and it doesn't look good for me, my friend, I'm sorry that you're in that position.
Mm-hmm. I have one more question. Is that all right? Because it's very rare that we get questions about being single.
Mm.
So today I'm writing because I'm upset about being single. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm happy and independent, and I don't need no man and all that jazz. I live that daily, but also I'm actively dating and have been for years. I've never been able to find anyone to commit to or anyone who will commit. I'm just really sensitive today that maybe I might never find someone. Look, I'm okay being single, but it's hard when you're ready for a relationship and nothing works out. I take a look inward, I do therapy, I have a good job, good house, cute, funny, but nothing sticks. End rant. I just wish I knew what I was doing wrong.
Oh, I'm so. Firstly, I'm sorry, reader. My little heart's breaking for you. It's so discouraging and heartbreaking to ask the world for something small, you know, to someone to spend your life with, and it won't come up. But it's okay. Don't despair. You need to figure out first what do you want? Do you want children down the line? Do you want just a husband or wife? You know, do you want a family? Do you want, you can figure out what that is, and that might, and not just in your life now, sitting at this point in your life. What do I want 2 years from now, 10 years from now? And that might affect or influence how you look for a person or the type of person you look for. So that might be a solution for you. I don't know if you've already got all this figured out. I'm sorry, reader. I'm just responding to what I'm given. But it is hard.
Yeah, look.
It's tough.
I get this. I feel you. I'm right there. So I've been single by choice for about 2 years now. Two and a half. Before that, I was desperately dating. But now I've just decided, no, you know what? And there are times where I'll sit there and have a little cry because I will be watching a romantic movie and someone's kissing passionately. And I'm like, I forget what that feels like to have that care behind it. And it gets me down. But what I work on a lot in therapy is realizing that my happy ending could look very different to
Absolutely.
What I thought it would.
Absolutely.
And I'm not sure if I've announced this online on air before, but I'm currently going through the preliminary steps to do IVF because I'm in my 30s and I've come to the realization that kids are a non-negotiable for me, but I also don't want to make a terrible a terrible mistake in choosing someone to have children with that I'm then tied to forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I remember that when I first broke up with my ex and mum was like, maybe you can have a baby by yourself. I was fucking furious because I said to her, I was like, my dream is family, not kids. But what I've come to realize is that me plus my support networks plus a baby, and even if the baby doesn't work out, that is my family.
That's your family, yep.
So it can be sad and it can be demoralizing and it can be really difficult, especially when you see everybody else being happy out there, but also realize that they're probably not as happy as you think they are, and you might be a lot happier single.
That's right. Rita, they did say you were happy single or something
like
okay
that. She said okay being single.
Okay.
Single, but also said happy, independent, don't need no man.
I
get the missing of the love, though.
It's absolutely
hard.
Absolutely.
It's hard sometimes.
But marriage isn't the end goal. Marriage has a fail rate that would require it to do summer semester at uni. You know, yeah. It's not a good institution. So don't race towards that by any means. Be comfortable. I don't know. It's so hard to. I've never had to tell myself this because I like it, but like being alone, being comfortable alone or single or whatever word you want to use. Trying to tell someone to do that. How do you do that?
You can't. Actually, producer Zane thinks we can. No, he's got something to say, and let's give him the mic. What do we have to say?
Sorry for chiming in. I think I'm going to steal something from Dan Savage, who is a relationship columnist. Every person you date, every relationship you have is going to fail until one doesn't.
Yes.
So you need to have as much fun as you can in that process until it doesn't, until you find what you want, until you find something else. I think that's kind of the basis is like, you sound like you are having fun. You are happy where you are, but you're kind of, sometimes you beat yourself up about what could be.
You just also say, I wish I knew what I was doing wrong. It's nothing. Do you know that the odds that you're going to run into somebody that you can be compatible with for the rest of your life, do you know how fucking low that is? Like, when stuff happens, it just happens, and it's not you. It's luck.
Yeah. And
dating,
how many people around you have dated and found the right person on their first person that they've dated?
And how many people around you have settled and they're actually quite miserable most of the time because they just didn't want to be alone? I'm happy as single. Yes, I get wistful for cuddles and love and romance and all of that kind of stuff. But I, on a day-to-day basis, I am happier alone than I ever was walking on eggshells in my past relationships.
Yeah, and
so I think you need to recontextualize what your happiness looks like.
But conversely, I've always thought I was better in a relationship, better in it as part of a team. I thought I was a team player, but then the more I've gone on time, I become a different person. Different things happen to me. I've realized, no, you're strong on your feet by yourself. You like your independence. It would tear me apart if things ended with my girlfriend now, but I would be okay by myself.
Such a good revelation to have.
We're not all racing towards the same goal, I think. Yep. We're all running different races. So just focus on your race and try not to rubberneck on other people too much, because then you're just measuring their success and their happiness and their... But no, you.
You're doing
baby.
Everything right. There's literally nothing that you are doing wrong at this point. And just know that you're not alone. Everyone feels like that sometimes. Some people feel lonely even in marriages. So talk about it with your friends.
I bet there are some married people on this planet who are very lonely, are very lonely, can't feel trapped or feel lost or feel...
And you've got none of that, Rita. You got none of that baggage. You're not beholden to anyone.
That's right.
Have fun in every interaction that you have. And just remember, every terrible date means you've got a wonderful dating story that you can come tell us.
Yes, that's right.
All right. Shall we leave it there for this particular mini-sode that's turned into a bit longer than a mini-sode?
Yes, we've had a bit of a chin wag on this one, so we'll forego our normal long ranty outro and just thank you all for listening and hope
you're
well.
You know where to find us? Write in.
Are you sick of humans? Do you want to learn cocktail facts to horrify your coworkers at your next fancy Christmas party? Or do you simply want to horrify the next person that rants about what lifestyle is or is not quote-unquote natural? Then you should listen to Fonication, one of the most ethically questionable podcasts out there, dedicated to unnecessary education and airing out Mother Nature's dirty laundry. Tune in for exciting phrases such as love darts, elastic navel cavities, echolocation jamming reproductive organs, and inconveniently located teeth. If any of those phrases horrified you, that's okay. You're completely normal, and I welcome you and your affliction anyways. So stop by and learn about all the Google searches I did so you don't have to. Fonication is available on all platforms and for as long as I fly under the FBI's radar. New episodes every other hump day, because of course I chose Wednesday.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The Ancient and Esoteric Order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.